You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we are wrapping up our journey through John's Gospel with the message, The Gracious Invitations of Jesus, from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. Let's listen in.
Amen. That's a great, great song. He is worthy of our worship. He is indeed. Would you pray with me? Father, we come now to look into your word in depth. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to open minds and eyes and hearts to the truth of your word, to the truth of who you are, to the truth of who we are, and how desperately we need you. So, Lord, come, teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today we come to the end of a journey. The end of this series of preaching through John's Gospel that began in May of last year. So after 57 sermons from John, we bring it to a close. And I can say to you, my faith has grown as a result of preaching through John. Now, I don't know about you. You may not have benefited at all from these sermons, but you will because I did. I love this book. If you are wondering what life is about, if you're wondering about faith and Jesus, start with the book of John. And then read his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And it just brings clarity to who Jesus is, why he came, who we are, and what God has done for us through Jesus. The Gospel of John is John's eyewitness testimony about Jesus Christ. And I said last week that John's evidence for Jesus as God's Messiah was all presented in chapters 1 through 20. He presented it all. And he clearly stated his purpose for writing it, that you may believe and have life. That's why he wrote it. That you and I might believe and have life. That's not only eternal life there, but it's full life here until we get there. And so chapter 21 is an epilogue that gives us a picture of what following Jesus really looks like. It's personal. It's corporate. It's intimate, it's purposeful, it's all that and more. And we see in chapter 21 how we can relate to Jesus, but more importantly, we see how Jesus relates to us. He comes to us. The Creator of the universe came down from his throne. He came here to initiate a relationship with us, and he did that because of his love and his grace. That's why Jesus came. And there's no clearer picture of that truth than what we have in today's passage. The risen Jesus Christ is walking with Peter by the Sea of Galilee. And as a result of that walk, Peter's faith will grow. Now let me remind you of the setting. The disciples went to Galilee at Jesus' instruction to meet him after the resurrection. And while they were waiting there, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples that were with him, the six who were with him, said, we'll go too. And after fishing all night long, they had nothing to show for it. They had no fish. But early the next morning, they heard a man on the shore telling them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat. And they did. And suddenly their net was full of fish. And when that happened, John said, it's the Lord. And Peter jumped into the water to get to Jesus as fast as he could. And when the disciples got to the shore, they saw fish cooking there on a fire. And Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. Jesus had prepared breakfast for the same men who had deserted him just a few days before. And so we come to John 21, 15 through 25, and here John focuses on Jesus and Peter. It's kind of like a telescope, and we focus in on Jesus and Peter. And here we see Peter in an intimate one-on-one conversation with Jesus. And Jesus is inviting Peter into a deeper walk with him. Don't ever think that once you believe in Jesus, that's it. No, we are constantly being called into a deeper walk with Christ. And we will be until we reach him in heaven. So it's not a one and done thing. I believe and that's it. No, we are all constantly called into this deeper walk that Peter was called into. And the same invitations that Jesus offered Peter are offered to us, to everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord of life. And here Jesus said to Peter, and he says to us, love me, serve me, follow me. Those are our 3 points. Love me, serve me, follow me. And those are gracious invitations of Jesus. If you think about it, they're gracious because the Lord of creation, here he is, he's inviting the created into an eternal relationship with a purpose. There's a purpose to our relationship. And there's no way that you and I could ever earn what Jesus offers. No way. It's offered by grace. So the first invitation is, love me. So after they had finished eating, Jesus looked at Peter and asked, do you love me more than these? I bet Peter didn't expect that. Caught him off guard, I'm sure. But you know, Jesus has the right to ask that question of anyone who professes faith in him. Simon, do you love me more than these? Now, it's unclear what the these refers to in verse 15. If Jesus could be referring to the boat and all of the tackle and all of the stuff related to Peter's love for fishing. Do you love me more than all this? Jesus could be asking Peter if he loved him more than he loved his friends. Do you love me more than these friends of yours? You know, the disciples there? But he's probably asking if Peter loved him more than the other disciples loved him. Because if you remember, Peter did brag to the other disciples and to Jesus before his crucifixion in the presence of the other disciples. He said this. He said, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Well, Peter lied. He did what he boasted that he would never do. He disowned Jesus. He flat out denied knowing him. And so here, a couple of weeks after that, that is fresh on Peter's mind. That claim and the failure to do that is fresh on Peter's mind. And Jesus gives him a chance to set the record straight. So what he's doing, he's forcing Peter to take responsibility. He's forcing it. And he says, Simon, do you love me? Now, you've probably heard sermons. Some commentators put significance on the difference in the two words there that are used in Greek, agape and phileo. But most of them say that John used those two words interchangeably in other places of his book anyway. So they don't put a lot of weight on that. But either way, our love for Jesus is to involve both our will and our emotion. It should involve our head and our heart. It should involve all of us. Occasionally, Judy will ask me, do you love me? And I said, of course I do. I told you last year. No, I don't really say that. I say, yes, I do love you. In fact, she asked me that last night. And maybe an indication that I need to tell her more often. But it's also for me to affirm that I do. It's for me to affirm that I do love her. Now, Jesus knew if Peter loved him or not. I mean, he's God. He knows our thoughts before we think them. So surely Jesus knew if Peter loved him or not. But Peter needed to know that he loved Jesus. And so Jesus has given him an opportunity to verify that. Peter needed to know that. Jesus doesn't need your love. He doesn't need your affirmation. He asks so that you will know whether or not you love him. and whether or not your love for him is growing. It's not a stagnant love, it's a growing love. We're called into a deeper relationship. Where was it that Peter denied Jesus? It's at a fire. It's around the fire outside of the high priest's house. So here Jesus gave Peter another fire to remind him of that moment. Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Three times to affirm his love. Three times to counteract the three denials. Now, we can't take back the things that we say. You've seen in children's sermons, toothpaste squeezed out of a tube, you can't put it back in. We can't take back the things that we say, but we sure can say and do the right things from this moment forward. And this was that moment for Peter. "Simon, do you love me?" And notice the tone in Peter's third response in verse 17. There's no hint of the usual proud boasting of Peter. And Peter is humbly yielding to the fact that Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. He said, "Lord, you know all things, including my love for you." So Jesus invited Peter. Jesus invites you into a love relationship unlike anything else you will find from anyone or any person in this world. He is inviting you to love him. Well, the second invitation is serve me. What happened each time Peter affirmed his love for Jesus? Jesus invited him to serve. So Jesus is saying, "Okay, Peter, you love me. Now show me by serving. Show me by serving." And once again, Jesus doesn't need us, but he invites us to participate in his work in this world. Like we said last week, Jesus told the disciples, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught and put them with these fish that I provided." So he is inviting us to participate with him. So Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes." "Then feed my lambs." Then the second time, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, "Feed my sheep." So we prove our love for Jesus by serving the followers of Jesus, his church. We prove our love for Jesus by serving his church. And then as we do that, it grows beyond the church to the people not in the church. It grows outward. And this is done in as many different ways as we have people here today. As many different ways as there are followers of Jesus. Each one of you has a talent, you have a gift, you have an interest, you have a desire, and you need to use those things in serving his church. Are you serving his church? He doesn't give you those things to hold them for yourself. They're given to you for the benefit of his church. And if for some reason you stop serving him in this way, that's okay, but what are you going to do? What are you going to replace it with? Add it something else in service to his church. We're called to service. He invites us to serve him. Now, we practiced that yesterday. We served the community. Now, will people be saved by us picking up trash? Not necessarily, but people will see that we cared enough to pick up trash, and they might listen to what we have to say about Jesus. It might just click with them, you know, hey, maybe these people are interested in us, so maybe we should listen to what they are saying about this Jesus. And you'll have another opportunity to serve this coming Sunday. But what are you doing to serve Jesus? Now, I know that Christ's church is bigger than this local expression of First Baptist Church Americas, but I believe that God intends his followers to be committed to a local body of believers through whom you can be blessed and be a blessing. So you are invited to participate, to serve here, so that you can both be a blessing and receive a blessing. That is the picture of the church. Matt Chandler in our study on Sunday evening, he said it's more important to belong to a church than to just go to one. Does that describe you? Do you just go here? Or do you belong to the church? Do you give of yourself? Do you serve his church through this place? Why? So that you can learn to serve Jesus by serving people. And then it grows, as I said. I've heard people say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. They've said that. I'm spiritual, but not religious. What they mean is, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to be involved in the church. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can love Jesus in a bubble, because Christianity is flowing outward. It's not stagnant. It flows outward. And so if you love Jesus, you will love his church. Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, then I've got a job for you to do. And he says the same to us. Every one of us, he says that same thing. The greater the love, the greater the willingness for self-sacrifice, service, and even suffering. Do you believe that? I do. The greater the love, the greater willingness you will give up something in order to do what you love. Now, think about it this way. If you have a hobby you love, you will go to great expense, including your money, your time, your resources, in order to do that hobby. If you like to hunt, you got to get up early, you got to spend time in that deer stand, you got to buy the gun, you got to buy the ammunition. Whatever hobby you have, woodworking, you got to buy all the tools, you got to buy the lumber. If you make quilts, see, everything that you do, every hobby that you have requires you to give up something in order to do that hobby. Time, money, resources, and all of that. The greater the love, the greater willingness you are willing to give. Now, I saw another example of that Wednesday night. Where's Chad Brown? He's probably watching on screen. So, Chad, there he is. So, Chad and Jessica and Piper Grace and Peyton, they show up as the Flintstones. So, Chad comes in and he's wearing this Fred Flintstone suit. And he kept saying, this is not a dress. This is not a dress. You see the tie? And I'm like, dude, that's a big dress with a blue tie. And so for Chad to do that, he must really love Jessica. To come to church dressed as Fred Flintstone. But he loved her and he was willing to sacrifice his own reputation to do that. Of course, he said he's going to collect on that, and I'm sure he will. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the importance of obedience in order to thrive as a follower of Christ. You can't thrive without obedience. It's part of what he's called us to. And then Sunday night, again, we heard Matt Chandler saying, we're not obedient in order to be loved, but we are loved. And that love drives obedience. See, the greater the love, the greater the obedience. And if you're not obedient to the things of Jesus, then chances are you don't really have a deep love for Jesus. You don't serve Jesus in order to gain his love or his favor. You already have it. That's why Jesus came. You already have it. Now, serve him in response to his love. See how that works? You already have his favor. You already have his love. Now serving in response to that. Like Peter, we're invited to love Jesus. We're invited to serve Jesus. But there's a third invitation, and that is to follow me. Immediately after Peter affirmed his love for Jesus the third time, Jesus basically told Peter that he would die for loving him. Now, if you think back to the way Jesus taught, he clearly taught his disciples to consider the cost of discipleship. Consider the cost of following me. And see, it's really by coming to grips with the reality of our own mortality that we are really free to love and to serve and to follow Jesus. You come to the place that you understand and you realize that He has taken care of the effects of death on you. He's taken care of that. And so then you are free to love Him, serve Him, and follow Him. There are many who follow Jesus because they will think He will make everything right in their lives. Oh yeah, I'll sign up. I'll be a Christian. He's going to make everything right in my life and all will be well. Oh, He will eventually, but not how we want Him to or when we want Him to. And Jesus is talking here to Peter in verse 18 about crucifixion. He's telling Peter how he is going to die. And historians tell us that Peter was crucified in Rome about 30 years after this event. Jesus never guarantees anyone an easy life in this world. In fact, He makes it clear that in this world we will have trouble. But in the trouble, we are invited to follow Him. We follow Him through the trouble. And He said to Peter in verse 19, follow Me. Follow Me. Just think about the graciousness of that invitation for all people. Follow Me. Follow the One who created this world. Follow Me. We follow God the Son through the troubles of this world with the help of God the Spirit, and we follow Him into the eternal presence of God the Father. God the Son made that possible. God the Spirit enables us to do it, to take us into the presence of God the Father. I read a great quote from Billy Graham this week. He said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. And it's my job to love because Jesus loved. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. God's job is to judge. My job is to love, because that was Jesus' job. And we follow Jesus best by loving people. So are you following Jesus? Are you loving people? Somewhere between the breakfast and this moment when Jesus said, follow Me, Jesus must have invited Peter to go on a walk because of what it says in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. So they must have been walking, for Peter turned back and saw John, and perhaps the other disciples were following too. But Peter points out John, and he said, what about him? And Jesus said to Peter, what is that to you? What is that to you? In other words, Peter, that's none of your business. What goes on between John and me is our business. You take care of Peter. You follow Me and let John take care of John. Our invitation is to follow Jesus. To do that, we keep our eyes on Jesus without being concerned about God's will for other believers and without any comparison between believers. But we're good about making comparisons, aren't we? Even to other churches and other believers. Now, we are to hold one another accountable. But when it comes down to it, how Jesus deals with one believer is between Jesus and that believer. Just keep on following. We have three boys, and we learned early on that they were all different. Now, they have their similarities because they're brothers. But we learn that they were different in their personalities, in their wants, in their desires, in their expressions. And so we tried very hard not to compare them. And as followers of Jesus, we're brothers and sisters. So we have certain similarities, those essentials of the faith. But we're also unique, and we each serve Him in different ways. So we should be free to do that and allow other people to be free in serving the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter failed. He made boastful comments about how good of a follower he was, but he failed. He didn't live up to what he said he would do. But yet Jesus was still inviting him to follow. See the grace in that? He failed, but Jesus is inviting him to follow. And I would ask you, do you ever feel disqualified? Or have you ever feel disqualified? Would you let Peter be an example for you that in grace Jesus is inviting you to keep following? Keep following, because he is full of grace and he's full of truth. So keep your eyes on him. So we have loving, serving, following. Gracious invitations of Jesus. But at the same time, they're also fruit of those who truly believe. If you believe, then you will love him. You will be serving him. You will be following him. Would you evaluate your own life and see if you have that fruit? So as we come to the close of John's gospel, let me sum it up in this way. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born to die for the forgiveness of your sins. If you believe that truth by faith, then you have life. If you believe you need that, you have life. Eternal life. Full life. Do you believe? We live in a generation of people who hear constantly, and the younger generations, it is stronger and stronger. You just do you. Kind of putting to the side the need that we need anybody. Christianity is about needy people who have a Savior who has provided everything we need. So do you believe? And if you believe, does your life reflect it? I pray that it does. Let's pray. Father, just as we are, we come, and even at this moment, I pray for your Holy Spirit to convict. Help us not be blinded to the truth of your word. Help us to hear the still, small voice of your Spirit that is in us, inviting us into this relationship. And we don't come with any merit, because we have no merit to offer. But there may be somebody here, Lord, who has been wrestling with the thought of belief, and I just can't accept it. Lord, I pray that you would open their heart, open their eyes, open our eyes, that we would go into that deeper walk with you. Wherever we are, Lord, there's a deeper step of faith we all should take. So help us to do it. And let it be for your sake, your glory. We pray for the name of Jesus to be lifted up in the individuals of this body and then collectively, that this community would know that we stand for Christ, which means we stand in love. So, Lord, have your way, and may your will be done in us. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about the gracious invitations that Jesus gives to us even today, we would love to help you with that. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below or on our website at fbcamericas.org. Stay tuned for our holiday sermons.